Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. I have a confession to make, and that was I'd got into my head that the service started at 11 o'clock. And I thought I'd get here early, and as I was arriving, I thought, gosh, these are very enthusiastic people. They're already arriving for 11 o'clock service. Until suddenly, the penny dropped, and I realized that we start at 10:30. It's great to be here this morning. I thought that we would begin by sharing God's word together in a responsive reading. And it's Psalm 138. And if you go to page 628 in your pew Bibles, and the idea of a responsive reading is that I read the first verse, you read the second, I read the third, you read the fourth, until we get to the end of the psalm. So it's page 628 in your pew Bibles, Psalm 138. And it's one of the Psalms of David. The tradition in the Church of Scotland over many years in the past has to been focus on the Psalms, very important part of the liturgy of the Church of Scotland. And so we are now going to follow in that tradition by reading a psalm together. So if you're ready with your pew Bibles, I'll begin by reading the first verse. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Amen. And so we share our first hymn together from Mission Praise, Number 20, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
Shall we come before our God in prayer? Shall we pray? Lord, we come here not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we want to sing your praise, offer our adoration, express our thanks, and show our love. You have blessed us beyond our deserving, enriching our lives to overflowing. And we want to tell you how grateful we are and how much you mean to us. Hear our prayer and accept our worship. And as we come before you, we're conscious, O Almighty God, that you will give us grace to approach you with penitent and believing hearts. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and that we're not worthy to be called your disciples. Yet in your mercy, keep us faithful to you. Give us true repentance, and forgive us all our sins. For we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we gather together as a family of God's people, we share in the great family prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to say together: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, I wasn't sure how many young folks would be here today, but I'm relying on you to help me with a game. So you'll all need to come out to the front. And to help with the game, I've got this. Does anybody know what this is? A stop sign. Who usually carries it? Lollipop man or a lollipop lady. I borrowed this from a lollipop lady who is in one of the churches I'm associated with. And she was given the British Empire Medal by the Queen for her long service as a lollipop lady and helping with the boys' brigade. Now, it says stop, doesn't it? If I turn it that way, you can't see anything. Okay? So we're going to play a game, okay? You guys stay there, and I'm going to go down here. Now, when you see the sign side on, you can move forward. Okay? When it's like that, you have to stop. Okay? And the winner is the person who gets to me first, okay? So that's go, and that's stop. Are you with me? Right, if any adults want to join in, they can too, but okay. Okay, we'll give you that. We'll go back and do it again. And we'll go further back this time, okay? Right. I've always wanted to use a lollipop, I must say. Oh, no. Now it's getting really tight now, isn't it? Okay, well done, well done. Give them a clap. So the lollipop lady or gentleman tells the traffic when to stop. And so he or she will walk out into the road, hold up the lollipop, and then the children can cross the road and the traffic have to stop. And you may wonder what this black line here is for. In the old days, the lollipop ladies and gentlemen had chalk. And if a car didn't stop, they wrote the registration number on here so that they could report them to the police. But they don't do that anymore. But that's why that is there. Now, the lollipop, of course, tells people when to stop and when to go. And in the Bible, there are things in it which tell us to stop things that we should be doing, but to go for things that we should do. So when you don't know what you want to do, whether something is right or whether it's wrong, what would you do? Any suggestions? What would you do? Not sure whether this thing is right or whether it's wrong. What would you do? Any thoughts? Just shout out. Any thoughts? What would you do? Not sure whether something is right or something is wrong. Somebody says, well, I'd like you to come and join me to do this. And you know, deep inside, it's not quite right, but you're not sure what to do. What would you do? Yes. You could ask someone for advice. That's very good. Yes? You could pray. That's a very good answer. You could pray. You could ask for someone's advice. And in the church, where would we look to find advice? Yes. In the Bible. Gosh, you're going to take over from me, aren't you? In the Bible, we would read in the Bible what is right and what is wrong. And in particular, there's one person who would guide us as to what is right and what is wrong. As we read about him in the Bible, who would that person be? Jesus, that's right. As we read about his life in the New Testament, we'd find the things that he thought were good to do and things that he thought weren't so good to do. And so when we're stuck as to knowing whether we should stop or whether we should go, we can pray, we can read the Bible, and we can see what Jesus would do in that situation. So the next time you're at school and you see a lollipop lady or gentleman, that might remind you of stop and go. You've done very well this morning. Thank you so much, and I think they deserve another clap. And now we're going to sing a chorus, which we'll sing twice. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Shall we all pray? God of the journey, we have heard your summons and we praise you for it. We follow you seeking your purpose for our lives, and we come to you asking where you will lead us. We come listening for your message to us as we journey through this troubled world. Speak to us, lead us, reveal to us our destiny along the way. For we ask this in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so we sing together before we hear God's word. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. Mission Praise 463.
First scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, and we will read from Isaiah chapter 51, reading from verse 1, and you can find this in the Pew Bibles on page 738. Isaiah 51, reading from verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion, and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me, my justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. And we read now from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Romans, reading from verse 12. And you can find this in the Pew Bibles on page 1139. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Blessed is the word of the Lord. We will now sing from the Church Hymnary 4, hymn number 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind, CH4 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
seated. May what I say and what you hear be acceptable to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the lectionary reading for today takes us to Isaiah, it takes us to Psalm 138, and it takes us to a part of Paul's letter to the Romans. And the theme for this morning is, in fact, a question. Are you in your right mind? Are you in your right mind? A question, perhaps, sometimes we might say flippantly, mightn't we, when somebody says something outrageous, we might reply, are you really in your right mind? But this is a very serious question for us this morning, which the Apostle Paul is asking. Are you in your right mind? Paul's letter to the Romans is his longest letter, and it deals with very grand themes. It was written in Corinth about AD 55, we're not entirely sure, and it deals with the problem that the Emperor Claudius had expelled Jews from Rome, including Jews who had become Christians. And when they were allowed to return to Rome, there was an immediate clash between Gentile Christians and Roman and Jewish Christians and Jews. And Paul writes this letter to try and sort out these problems. That's the background to Paul's letter to the Romans. And so, like all letters, there's an introduction, there's a core message, there's a piece about how to be put right with God, there's a section about the change that should take place in the life of a Christian, and then there's a bit about the place of the Jews and Israel in God's economy, in God's kingdom. And then he goes on towards the end of the letter about the implications of living as a Christian, and then the conclusion. And we're going to focus on Romans chapter 12, where he begins to talk about the implications of living as a Christian. And he begins his chapter with the therefore. Therefore, in the light of all that I've told you in this letter up to this point, all the teaching that I've given you, he then says, therefore, there should be a consequence. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the challenge that Paul gives us. The renewing of your minds. J.B. Phillips, in his translation, puts it, I think, even better. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers and sisters, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. These are very rich verses, but there are three key elements that are important for us today. We've got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, Paul, of course, would have been very familiar with the custom of temple sacrifices to the various Roman and Greek gods that were worshipped in his day, and how animal sacrifice was very important in trying to placate the various gods and goddesses. And the concept of the body that Paul has here is that of the whole being. When he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he's referring to your whole being. Every aspect of one's life dedicated to God. That's a big ask, isn't it? Every aspect of one's life dedicated to God. So he begins with that. He says that your whole life, every aspect of it, everything that you do from Monday through Saturday should be dedicated to God. And then he says that your spiritual worship should involve both the head and the heart. Another translation of this would be intelligent worship. Now, church worship over the centuries can result in three outcomes. Churches can either blow up, dry up, or grow up. The churches which tend to blow up focus only on the emotions. Very lively worship, which is great, but the mind is left behind. And when people come into the church, they park their brains in the entrance and come in and participate in worship without really thinking through what they're doing. And often churches who are very lively, and it's great to have life, blow up. Things fall apart because people have not been able to think through things properly. And then, of course, there are the churches which dry up. These are churches, same old, same old. When they come together, it's the same thing, same pattern of worship, same way of thinking, and there's no life. And they eventually dry up. But Paul wants us this morning to grow up, so that our spiritual worship should engage both the head and the heart. Remember that in Paul's day, the emotions were centered on the heart. So he's saying that your worship should engage every part of you, your thinking and your feeling. So if the church is only about thinking, which has been one of the snares of the Church of Scotland in the 19th century, then there will be no engagement of the emotions, and there will be the problem of drying up. So Paul says, in your worship together, grow up. Engage your minds, but also include your emotions. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to cry. It's okay to dance. It's okay to wave your hands in the air. It's okay to clap, provided you're thinking through what you're doing. And J.B. Phillips again says, we need worship that is worthy of intelligent beings. In other words, when you come into church and you hear the preacher, you engage your mind and you test what he or she is saying and whether it resonates with your understanding of the Christian life. And then thirdly, do not conform. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. That's a huge danger, isn't it? That we get squeezed by what we see and hear on the media, what we see on social media and engage with social media. We can, without realizing it, being squeezed into a particular mold. The adverts that we see encouraging us to do this or to do that or to have that kind of holiday or to buy this particular object, or if you're not doing this, well, you're really not cool. In 2013, UNICEF, the Survey of Child Wellbeing, surveyed the main economies of the world, the rich nations, looking at how children were in terms of their education, their well-being, their adjustment to society, and so on. It's quite a big report. And in that survey, the United Kingdom, obviously including Scotland, came 16th out of 29. Not a very good ranking. Parents and children, the report says, feel massive external pressure from a materialistic culture, which they know won't bring happiness, but are conforming to nonetheless, the research finds. And that's a very big indictment, isn't it? And we're all subject to this pressure to conform. A theologian commented on the fact that what madness it is to join in this puppet show which is displayed on a tottering stage. That was his reflection on society as it exists. We're joining in a puppet show. Other people are pulling the strings. And we're on a tottering stage. Well, how do we combat the pressures to conform? Well, Paul says, by the renewing of your minds. A sense of both intellectual and moral. And it's a continuing process. The tense of the word renewing is continuing. We should be continuing to renew our minds, to looking at things from God's perspective. That's extremely important. Martin Luther quotes Saint Bernard of Clairvaux on this particular passage in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 8. He says this, as soon as you do not desire to become better, then you have ceased to be good. As soon as you do not desire to become better, then you have ceased to be good. That's a big challenge, isn't it? For you and for me. And the work of the Holy Spirit enables us to understand what God's will is in any particular situation. Well, what is our response to all of this? We've been challenged by the Apostle Paul. Are you in your right mind? Is your mind being renewed daily? Are you growing as a Christian? Here's a poem, and with this I conclude, by a Christian poet called Andrew Rumsey. And he's reflecting on how we tend to try and go our own way. And it's called Jesus Caught Me. Jesus caught me picking at the lock of my life with the bent pin of my intellect. "Allow me," he said, and slid in the key. He caught me peering into the cracked mirror of my vanity, and I saw him behind me smiling. Jesus caught me in my car, puzzling over a map marked me. "You are here," he pointed, and the map's upside down. And so that's a challenge to us, to be aware of so often we think of things in the wrong way, not in God's way, and that we need to be engaged by our minds and by our emotions as part of our Christian experience. And everything that we do in our lives, Paul says, should be dedicated to him, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the question, are you in your right mind? Am I in my right mind? And if not, am I ready to look at what God is saying to me this morning, speaking to me, and also what I feel as I come into his presence? Amen. And now the choir, I think, are going to sing for us. Thank you.
Let us join our hearts and our minds in prayer. Let us pray. Our living and loving gracious God, we give you thanks this morning for our time of worship and for Roger as he opened up the scriptures to us, giving thanks for the spiritual food we have received. We pray that we as your people will not only have heard your word, but pray that it will continue to feed and comfort our hearts and minds throughout the coming week, and that it will impact our lives in the way that it needs to, and that we will honour you by our words and our actions. We pray that each of us here this morning, as well as those listening online, will have been challenged and will seek to have the mind of Christ, helping us as we journey together in faith with you, our Heavenly Father, in a world which is increasingly hostile to you and your truths. We give you thanks for the opportunity to bring our offerings, not just of money, but also of our love and service to you, and pray that they will be used to make an impact on our community and be a source of blessing to those we come into contact with. We give you thanks, Father, for our choir members and for Derek, who leads us week by week. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that they give to each one of us. Our church family is made up of many generations, and we especially remember the work of the Sunday Club and Bible class, which starts up again this morning. We pray for the children who have come, some for the first time and others who have returned for another session. We also pray that you will bless the leaders and teachers, give them time each week to prepare, and we pray for the young lives who listen. We think of the many children and young people who have come through Sunday Club and Bible class over the years in this church, and we pray that the seed that was sown in their young days will never leave them, and that one day they will want to rekindle that faith and trust in you. Father, thank you for every person who makes up the fellowship here in St. Paul's, people who have come to mean so much to us over the years. And we know that some are not able to be with us because they are receiving treatment for serious health issues. And as we take a few moments in silent prayer, we ask that you will be with the medical staff as they seek to bring comfort, relief, and cure. We also pray for the carers who may feel anxious and helpless, but pray that they will be comforted in the fact that they know that their brothers and sisters are praying for them. And we take this opportunity to pray for the person sitting next to us, in front and behind. We don't always know the things which they are concerned or anxious about, but we give you thanks that you, our all-knowing Heavenly Father, does, and ask that you will minister to them, and also that you will prompt us to be willing to help. Our loving Father, when we think about our world which you created, from east to west, from north to south, with so many different peoples, but also with so many issues. For many people, they waken up each morning and nothing has changed. They live with fear not only for the future, but their present circumstances. They wonder where their next meal will come from, if there will be any rain to grow the crops. And for others, the big question, will there be peace? And we pray especially for the people of Ukraine during this war which invaded their country and their peace. It has gone on for such a long time, and the President of Russia seems to have such an iron grip on things. But we pray that the prayers of the people of Ukraine, as well as the prayers of many people throughout the world, will be answered and that peace will be restored. We pray for the Christians in Pakistan who had their churches and homes torched in a frightening attack. Pray for those who have stayed to maintain their Christian witness in their community, asking that you will protect, strengthen, and comfort them in their grief and their sorrow. As we come before you, Father, in prayer for people and situations both near and many miles from our homes and our own situation, we thank you for the ministry of prayer, which brings many people, both known and unknown to us, but known to you, to your throne of grace. And so it is with confidence that we leave our prayers in the hands of the one who loves us and gave himself for us, Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you very much for the readings and for the prayers. So we come to our final hymn, number 516 in CH4. We're marching in the light of God. This is a lively hymn. It's a hymn when there's supposed to be movement. Now, I don't think we can all march around the church that easily, or maybe we could. But you can clap if you want to clap. It's okay to clap. And we can do that to express our joy in praising God. We're marching in the light of God. Go now, be strong, be brave. Know that you're held in the palm of God's hand and cradled in God's love. Look forward in hope and see shoots of new life in unexpected places. Seek out those who inspire hope. Know that as you seek to follow Jesus, the best is yet to come. And may God keep you in darkness and light. And may Christ be your guiding star, and the Spirit give you joy, now and always. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all evermore.